Let's read together Genesis chapter 5. In this chapter, we have a genealogy which takes us from Adam to Noah. Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, let's begin with some background notes. When we read the genealogy of Genesis chapter 5, two logical questions come to mind. Number one, how do we explain the long ages that are given here? I mean, Adam lived 930 years, verse 5. Methuselah, the oldest person in the Bible, lived 969 years. Well, there may be a couple of good answers for these long ages before the flood. First of all, after the fall of man, there may have been some time involved before the full effects of sin on the human genetic system began to take its toll to shorten man's lifespan. And then furthermore, there may have been a water vapor canopy surrounding the earth before the flood, which helped to screen out the dangerous radiation which contributes to aging. This water vapor canopy would have been the waters above the firmament that we read about in Genesis 1, verse 7, and would have been precipitated at the time of the flood in the 40 days and 40 nights of rain. The other big question about this genealogy in Genesis chapter 5 is whether it is a genealogy with gaps or whether it is a tight chronology without gaps. It sounds like it's a chronology without gaps because for each link, the number of years are given both before and after the firstborn, and then the total number of years is given. So it doesn't look like there is any room for gaps. Furthermore, in Jude, verse 14, we read that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And if you count from Adam to Enoch here in Genesis 5, you get seven. So there's no gaps between Adam and Enoch. So if there are any gaps at all in this genealogy of Genesis 5, they are very few and certainly not enough to push the origin of man back thousands and thousands of years. No way. Another background note. You will notice that throughout this genealogy, the phrase, "and he died," is repeated for each link. It emphasizes the truth of Genesis 2:17, where God said that if man disobeyed, he would surely die. In verse 3, we read that Adam begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. The phrase, in Adam's likeness and image, we believe refers to the sinful nature that Adam passed on to Seth. And everyone since Adam has inherited that sinful nature. We are born with a sinful nature. One more background note. In verse 1, we read, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. This phrase, this is the book of, or this is the record of, or this is the account of, is used a number of times throughout the book of Genesis. And it may indicate that Moses, the inspired writer of Genesis, had some earlier written sources to work with. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Both our doctrinal points this morning will be from the life of Enoch. So doctrinal point number one, Enoch is a model of the faithful Christian. Enoch is a model of the faithful Christian. Verses 23 and 24 once again. After Enoch begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. The first thing we notice about Enoch from this text is that he was faithful over the long haul. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Enoch was no flash in a pan believer. Enoch did not run hot and cold as a believer. Enoch was a model believer. Enoch had a steady and consistent faith. Enoch walked with God without wavering. That is, Enoch believed God. He obeyed God. He worshiped God. He fellowshiped with God. He witnessed for God. And he passed the tests of faith that God gave him. And we read here that it was for 300 years that he walked with God. What a model for us. We need more Enochs today. Let me ask you, are you an Enoch? Do you walk with God and have a consistent faith? Or do you run hot and cold and up and down as a Christian? I mean, you look pretty good on Sunday as a Christian, and you look pretty good at Christian retreats, but what about the rest of the time? Let's be more like Enoch and walk with God day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out. You know, we know that Enoch was also a model family man. How do we know that? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Question. Where did Enoch obtain this testimony that he pleased God? Answer. Most likely, his family testified that he pleased God. Remember, we said that when Moses wrote the book of Genesis, he probably had earlier family sources to work with. So in the case of Enoch, we believe the testimony that he pleased God came directly from his family. If Enoch was not a model family man, how could he have obtained this testimony that he walked with God and pleased God? Would your family give you that testimony? Would your family give you that testimony after 300 years? Your family knows you best. This is the testimony that Enoch's family gave him, and it's recorded in Scripture as a lesson for us. Enoch is a model of the faithful Christian. Doctrinal point number two, Enoch is a picture of the faithful church. Enoch is a picture of the faithful church. Verse 24 says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Faithful Enoch was raptured out of this world scene before the great flood of God's judgment that came in Noah's day. We believe this is a picture of the rapture of the church before the great flood of God's judgment during the tribulation period that's to come on this earth in the future. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We believe that this passage is not dealing with the Lord's return to earth to set up his kingdom. That comes after the tribulation. We believe this passage has to do with the rapture of the church before the tribulation of the last days. So Enoch is a type or spiritual picture of the faithful church. As Enoch was raptured before the worldwide flood of Noah's day, so the church will be raptured before the worldwide tribulation of the last days. Enoch is a picture of the faithful church. Now, what about practical application from this chapter? Let's have guts like Enoch. Let's have guts like Enoch. I'm using the word guts here, of course, as slang, meaning courageous. That is, courageous in witnessing. We've seen that Enoch was a model believer in his faith and with his family. He was also courageous in his witness. Let's read Jude verses 14 and 15 in this connection. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, that is, against God. We see from this passage of Scripture that Enoch preached and prophesied and spoke out against all ungodliness. That takes guts. Enoch was a courageous witness to the unbelievers of his day. Now, who were the unbelievers around Enoch in his day? A lot of relatives and extended family members. Remember, we are back in the early days of the human race. So everyone's related to Enoch by at most only a few links. Sisters-in-laws, brothers-in-laws, cousins, second cousins, third cousins, etc., etc. So Enoch was a courageous witness to his family and extended family. You know, having the guts to be a bold witness to your relatives is one of the hardest things to do as a Christian. It's a lot easier to preach to unbelieving strangers than it is to preach to unbelieving relatives. Try speaking out against evolution or abortion, for example, to an unbelieving relative who is on the other side of these issues. And you will see what we mean when we say, let's have guts to witness like Enoch. Illustration. I have a brother-in-law who is not a Christian. He's a lawyer, a very sharp lawyer. I can assure you it's not easy to witness to him. It takes guts. So we see from Jude verses 14 and 15 that Enoch did not hesitate to speak out against the ungodly deeds and ungodly talk of unbelievers. Enoch was a bold and courageous witness, even to his extended family and relatives. That takes guts. Let's have guts like Enoch.